Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for a paradigm shift. It's time for love and empowerment. It's time to create your ideal life. It's time to deploy the Awaken Life Excel process. If you're a freedom-loving soul, we're going to be discussing entrepreneurship, wellness, holistic health, fitness, and other life-enriching discussions. Don't miss our series. Join us every week here at 5 p.m. Central, 6 Eastern. This is Carol Ann Parisi, and Nancy G's got a hot mic. How you doing, Nan?
Good. How's the connection?
Outstanding. Absolutely phenomenal. Happy 2016, man.
Same to you. Woohoo!
I think we missed last week because I was out and about and I couldn't get into the studio in time. So we missed our show last week, which really stinks. But we got a great show today. Are you still there?
I am. It's just there's a lag or something, so I'm just letting it settle after you finish talking to see if you're still talking or you're silent.
Ah, gotcha. So are you guys getting stormy weather, or what's your deal?
Oh, we had a very bad storm on Saturday. I guess a tornado touched down probably within a, 15-mile radius.
Wow. Well, we're getting snow. It's so pretty. And we had, it's going to be, it was 2 degrees today, I think. Don't you miss it?
No, because I was already crabbing that it was only 50, it went up to 60-something, almost 70. And then tonight it's only going to be 50 degrees, so everybody in Florida has to turn their heat on.
Oh, 50 degrees, huh? That's hysterical.
There's a funny
thing though about living in the hot weather is because if you ever come to the cold weather, you're like zero, your tolerance level, your blood has been so much, you can't tolerate it. It's like, oh my God, it's freezing. And it's not freezing.
I'm sure I would feel that way even after just this short while.
Absolutely. So, I'm going to read you a little story, okay? You ready for a little story? And then we'll keep talking about some other things. You ready for the story?
I am.
This is from Thomas Costin's History, The Three Edwards, described by the life of Reynald III, a 14th century duke, in which is now called Belgium. Grossly overweight, Reynald was commonly called by his Latin nickname, Crassus, which means fat. After a violent quarrel, Reynald's younger brother Edward led a successful revolt against him. Edward captured Reynald, but did not kill him. Instead, he built a room around Reynald in the Neerwick Castle and promised him he could regain his title and property as soon as he was able to leave the room. This would have not been difficult for most people, since the room had several windows and a door of near normal size, and none was locked or barred. The problem was Reynald's size. To regain his freedom, he needed to lose weight. But Edward knew his older brother, and each day he sent a variety of delicious foods. Instead of dieting his way out of prison, Reynald grew fatter and fatter and fatter. When Duke Edward was accused of cruelty, he had a ready answer. My brother is not a prisoner. He may leave when he wills, when he so wills. Renald stayed in the room for 10 years and wasn't released until after Edward died in battle. By then, his health was so ruined, he died within a year, a prisoner of his own appetite. It's a very interesting parallel story, huh?
Yep, I love that story. It's very, very poignant.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes. And we do that to ourselves. We absolutely do. And January is National Mentoring Month. So if you really want to get the secrets to get your ideal life started, contact us offline. We can coach you in a variety of different things. Coaching is a good thing, and it will help you. So you can contact us on Facebook, and that's Carol Ann Parisi on Facebook, and we could private message and talk and get you hooked up with some good coaching. And let's do some of our free coaching on the radio show here, Nancy. You sent me a wonderful thing the other day, and we have to say farewell to David Bowie at some point too. Okay, so here's 10 life principles, and I believe this is from James Rome, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess we can get right into them and dive right into them. Everybody get a paper and pencil because this is valuable, priceless information, and we're going to go into detail in the next 22 minutes about each one of them. But the first one is purpose. Now, if anybody goes and friends me on Facebook, my picture on Facebook says got purpose, right? Obviously, Renald's purpose was to eat. You think?
That's it. That's all. He had no other purpose.
And purpose
That'd
is
be
what...
Sad.
I mean, you have to live your life on purpose. You have to create a purpose for your life. I mean, a lot of times just being around others and helping others is a great purpose, right?
Oh, wonderful. Some people have higher purpose in life, and some people's purpose is just to show others that you can get by day after day after day, even though you might think that they're not living, you know, a fancy life or a fruitful life, but they are, because that's their purpose, is just to show other people that you can get by life every single day, no matter what.
Oh, I don't know if I love that, though, just to get by. I mean, wait till the next audition.
We know of somebody that is just getting by in life. I'm not saying that that will be their lifelong mission, but it is inspiring that if somebody can do so little and get by and still be living their life how they choose to, then we can aspire to do so much more if you are more capable.
I think we all have we all have capacity, we all have gifts and talents. I think we need to take our gifts and talents, and generally if you're doing what you love, that's what gives you your life's purpose. You know, I mean, if you're doing something you really love and you are enjoying, there you could really be helpful. Like, I took a class on Saturday, and the teacher was outstanding. And I said to the teacher, I said, oh, my gosh, I said, you're really talented at this. I didn't realize how passionate you are. He goes, I love this. He goes, I live for this. And it's like, you could tell, it shows it's authentic, you know. Pretty cool. But, yeah, sometimes, you know, we get down in our major definitiveness of purpose are on lower levels. But I'm going to tell you a little story. Back in 1998, I had my very first convertible, and I bought it brand new in 89, and it was a beautiful day in September. It was sunny out, and all of us, and I had, remember, I had this car from 1989, and now it's almost 10 years old. I was the original owner, and I took care of this car like immaculate. It had low miles on it. All of a sudden, I've got Michael, my baby is in the back seat, and I get rear-ended. Oh, it was totaled because it was an older car, right? So
mm-hmm.
They totaled my car. Depressing. I mean, they gave me a decent amount for it. Nothing that I could buy, you know, I didn't think I could buy another one. Well, this was in September. So, you know, I muddled through October and November, which is sometimes convertible months. And then, of course, December, January, February, you don't drive a convertible up north here. So it wasn't so painful. Well, all of a sudden, we're starting to get some beautiful 60-degree weather in March. And I'm driving around, and I'm seeing all these people in their convertibles. And I'm going, I need a convertible. So, you know, me being the pain in the butt that I am, I would call my husband every half hour every time I'd see a convertible. I'm seeing people in their convertible. I want a convertible. Well, after a couple days of this, I woke up the next morning. I was in my gym working out. He goes, "Hi, honey, how you doing?" I said, "I'm good." I said, "My major definitiveness of purpose the rest of the week is to buy myself a convertible. I'm going to find a convertible, a red convertible." Well, the funniest thing is I had to drop Michael off to, like, you know, play group. And this is someplace I drove, like, almost, you know, every 3 days or so. There was a red LeBaron convertible that I never saw there before. I pulled in. I said, "Hey," I said, "I just noticed this car here." I said, "Are you selling it?" He goes, "Oh, we just got it back. It's all fixed. We're going to be putting it up for sale tomorrow." I said, "How much?" It was in the price range. By Thursday night, I was driving that car home. So major definitiveness of purpose along with a little bit of, I don't know, manifestation tactics perhaps. That's a true story, and I know it's a small thing and a material thing, but in anything we do, the point is, in anything we do, you can have, you know, your deliberate creation. You got to create your purpose. So, and they change, you know. They totally change, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, from even week to week, it just depends. The more open you are and resolved to letting whatever come its way into your life, it definitely can shift your gears.
You know, the thing is, sometimes we all get distracted, though. There's that distraction portion, too, of, you know what I'm saying, where it's like, "Oh, it's a shiny thing. Oh, I think I could do that." I have a bad tendency to do that. So let's see. The next one, do you have anything else you want to say on purpose, Miss Nancy?
Nope. That was great.
Okay, self-confidence. Oh, I like self-confidence because self-confidence is always so misunderstood. You know what I'm saying? A lot of insecure people misunderstand self-confidence for egotistical. Have you ever noticed insecure people have a real problem with self-assured and self-confident people?
Yeah, they think we're cocky.
Well, it might be cocky. Cocky and backing it up is being confident, but they just come from a place of ego, ego, ego. It's like, you know what? No, been there, done that, been there, rocked that. You know, I mean, you have to go confidently and boldly before you do something. I mean, and, you know, confidence is totally a building block process, you know. The more you do stuff, the more confident you get in your abilities and, like, anything. I mean, you know, I'm going to... Anything you do, from exercising to putting, you know, being a makeup artist, putting makeup on, you've got muscle memory, from using a firearm, you have to be confident in your ability. So do you have any, you know, pearls on self-confidence?
I just think that without the self-confidence, then you're not going to complete all the other aspects of trying to live your true life. I think self-confidence is also learning to be fearless.
I didn't hear you. Say that again.
Oh, learning to be fearless so that you're not going to stop yourself when you're presented with new opportunities that you've never been in before.
so many people feed the fears. So many people feed their fears.
Yep.
I think
it's the biggest blocker, I think.
You know, I think, but if you have a good, strong purpose, and sometimes I'm going to say something. I have noticed with some people that if their purpose is more others-directed, they are more passionate about doing it. Somebody that, I mean, I've noticed that in a lot of people, and I guess that's a blessing because I guess I know some really awesome people. But, you know, sometimes when it's like for others, they'll go ahead and step out of their box and have confidence to do things that they wouldn't normally do. You know?
True. That's good because it exercises that muscle.
Yep. Any pearls on self-confidence anymore?
Nope. We got a lot to get through.
Yeah, we do. And the next one is enthusiasm. Could you imagine? who do you gravitate? Who's going to inspire you more? What, somebody that talks like this. Hey, we have our show today. It's going to be awesome. And we're really going to, like, help change your life. enthusiasm, a certain amount of enthusiasm. Now, I've seen false enthusiasm, too. The BS, where it's like, oh, yay, rah, 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 you know. That kind of rubs me the wrong way, false enthusiasm. What do you have to say?
I agree. Yeah, I can read right through when somebody's being full of crap about being excited about something. It's like they're trying to. So sometimes I call them out. I say, who are you trying to convince right now, me or you?
Or you. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I do find myself saying that a lot of times in certain situations, that exact comment, because I know they're not getting me enthusiastic about it because I am already understanding that this is, you know, that they're being ridiculous.
How about enthusiasm saying authentic enthusiasm? We could probably add a word to that to make it a little more powerful, like authentic enthusiasm, huh?
I think so.
So what are you enthusiastic about right now, Nancy?
Enthusiastic about winning the $1 billion lottery.
Oh, is it $1 billion now?
I think it's 1 billion 4 million or something. Or 1.4 billion.
Mm-hmm. So then I know that you will buy me my house that I've always wanted. One here and one.
if I am the sole winner, then there'll be a lot of things that are going to be changing.
I would love to win. I know that I would be like, I know what I would do. I mean, I would get my house here, something that I've always dreamed of, a little swimming pool and some land and a garden, you know, vegetable garden to grow. And then I'd buy something below the Mason-Dixon line. So, like, on days like today, I could just be like, we're out of here. I'd have enough room for everybody. And then, I mean, you know what? I would take care of anybody that was, you know, hurting. You know what I'm saying? That I know. That's in my universe. I'd make sure everybody was okay, all the kids' college paid for. And then I would go ahead and I would start some philanthropic organizations. You know, homeless women's thing. And it would be fun. It would be really fun. And then I would, like, do... There's a bunch of really good Christian ones that help build water wells in Africa and, you know, help the Christians in Iraq and Syria. You know, they're persecuted. They're cutting their heads off like crazy over there. So,
oh, geez.
Yeah. So it's good to dream. What would you do different, specifically? What would you do?
I would go somewhere for a while to contemplate exactly what is the best course of action instead of doing what I think a lot of lottery winner people do, and they just go out and they start spending and going crazy, and then, you know, they're fending off a lot of people. And then I have the little devil in me that I noticed come out. And there's a couple people. You probably know why, but deep inside, I would like to just do a quick ha ha. I don't know why, but it's such a strong feeling.
See, I don't want to ha anybody. I have nobody I want to ha.
I understand on a certain level that's ridiculous and childish and egotistical and all that. Part of me just wants to just get in a few people's face and just go, ha! And leave, you know? I mean,
well, I know I'm not one of them, so no way.
Certainly not.
Just your, I mean, I love you, and I mean, I'm going to be raw here. It's just your ego, put it to bed.
Right. Tell it to shut up when it starts interfering with the real value that I would have of winning the lottery and all that could be done.
Well, in your defense, you've had some pretty big assholes in your life that have really...
Right, so just to a couple of them, I'd like to say, ha!
I mean, I've had assholes, too. I mean, yeah, but I wouldn't, ha! In fact, I wouldn't even want them to know. Because all of a sudden, they'll become, wait a minute, you know, we had such a great relationship. I'm so sorry. Get the fuck out of here. Then that's okay, you know? See, I didn't let them know. Then they coming around like a bad rash.
Well, that probably would be the backlash of that. Absolutely. That would be the karma of that, for sure. That's what would happen is doors that are shut, and believe me, all the doors I'm talking about are shut. I mean, they're totally shut doors. There's nothing that I am going to do on my part to open that door, but that would be doing it. That would be opening the door again.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to start closing some doors myself because I'm starting to get harassed by a certain person. But, hey, we've got positive things to talk about. We could talk about that off the air.
Right. Oh, we were talking about enthusiasm.
We're all enthusiastic about winning the lottery, that's for sure.
Enthusiasm
as if you're going to win the lottery, okay? There's your mindset. There's your frame of reference. There you go. That would serve you very well in life, and that's totally authentic. Now, the next one is expertise. And you know what? Expertise actually fits with the lottery, too, because if you don't have expertise with money and really know how to manage money, so many people that win the lottery are broke in like 10 years. They're broke.
Yeah.
And now some of them are drug dependent and broke or alcohol dependent and broke. It's kind of like people inheriting a lot of money and then going ahead and just laying around and buying shit and then buying fancy shit and then laying around and doing nothing and putting business plans together all the time.
Yeah, or going off half-cocked and starting a business, but with no business plan. And you know, if you fail the plan, your plan's going to fail.
Expertise. We're going to talk about planning, but expertise in something. Okay, you know what? I'm really, really good at this. I'm not so good at that. I'm really not good at that. I've never done that before. Let me get someone of sound mind that has done this. And let me see if they would mentor me or partner with me, expertise. And if you don't have the expertise to make it happen, really there's people out there. And that's, let's go back to coaching month on coaching month January, you know, get a coach to do it, right?
Exactly.
The next one, you said preparation. Preparation. You know, you just said it. You can't go off half-cocked.
Right.
You know, and you know what that comes from, half-cocked? Do you know what that saying comes from? Comes from shooting guns, where your hammer is half-cocked.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's not going to work so well.
No. you got to be prepared. I mean, like, be like that Boy Scout. Be prepared. Preparation. Preparation. Although you could be like me and prepare and over-prepare and keep preparing. That's kind of like a procrastination of preparation of procrastination.
There we go.
Self-reliance. Yeah, you got to rely on yourself, but I'm also a big one on building teams. You know what I'm saying? Knowing that I know to where to go to get the resources, because no man is an island. You're
right.
Very self-reliant. And yes, I'm self-reliant too, intrinsically. I'm a scrapper. I mean, if I had a scrap, I could scrap. But what do you think Roan meant by this self-reliance? Do you have any words to say on that? We have like 3 minutes left.
I see that. Self-reliance comes out of necessity sometimes.
Kind of a gift, huh?
It is a very big gift.
Does that actually help give you the confidence to do it? Well, let's go to the next one, image. And you know what? We can go through these again at some point, too. Image. What about image? I mean, she's always wearing Dior. Is that the image, or is there something other than
image? The image is what you're projecting out to the world.
Authenticity, kindness, love, light, truth.
Yes, integrity.
Well, and that goes to character. That's a character thing.
Character is the next one. Yeah, those are totally connected. Because
but in all the next three, the next three are actually these are all connected. These are all very symbiotic because you totally could live your ideal life if you deployed these processes. Be a person of strong character. I would much rather say about people say about me, you know, Carol Parisi has a lot of character instead of being a character, you know.
Right.
Now, if you're a character, a little bit of a character, and you have character, that's cool, too, you know?
Yeah, I tried to do that, too. I think it's for my own amusement.
Self-discipline. I love this one. I love self-discipline. I really love self-discipline because it really helps you grow those muscles. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, and you could start so little with self-discipline on little things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now, self-discipline is a huge thing because everybody's got their New Year's resolutions. And I know that Mark and I have been doing low-carb for 11 days straight now. We've been doing Atkins for 11 days, both of us. And self-discipline, you know what I'm saying? But
how's that going to work on the trip?
It should work fine. Self-discipline is important. Self-discipline is important. It's choices, you know? It's choices.
That's all it is. Right.
Now, we've got 1 minute and 40 seconds left. Extraordinary existence? What is that existence? I don't want an existence. I want an extraordinary life, that abundant, overflowing thing. What do you have to say about that?
That's what I know he means by that.
I take existence as somebody just laying in their bed drinking their bottle of vodka every day. That's
right, but that wouldn't be an extraordinary existence. That would just be an existence.
It's an existence. See, I don't like the words because in my own brain, I correlate existence doing that. But this is going to be an outstanding year. Really, we lost a great rock legend, David Bowie. Any Bowie songs that you happen to like more than others?
Gosh, they had so many on Facebook today that I really can't choose my favorite because I like all the stuff from the early years. So, and I guess what he came out with an album just before
today.
He died. Yeah, and so I'm very curious. I asked a very musically oriented friend if they had heard the album yet, and they didn't even hear it yet. So I'm waiting
Let's get something on next week, and let's thank everyone for joining us, and join us back here next Monday, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. This is Carol Parisi and Nancy G. We're off. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'll call you on the flip side.